Welcome to Five Star Radio. Consider this your warning.
Hey there, cats and kittens. Mike Coughlin, Five Star Radio here at HalfGarden.com. And we are just moments removed from the fantastic conclusion to the disaster of a show known as UFC something. The Irish one. I don't know if it was UFC Fight Night 70-something, if it was UFC Dublin, UFC Ireland. I mean, I don't see any reason to call it UFC Dublin, because what other fucking cities are they ever going to in Ireland besides Dublin? Like, you would say, like, UFC London, because they go to Manchester and other places. But it's like, in Scotland, if you're going anywhere, you're going to fucking Glasgow. I know that they're going to, I don't know, fucking, I think I should know some other Scottish cities. Point being, it's UFC Island. Anyway, the disaster of a show. They had a weak main event to start off with Joe Duffy and Dustin Poirier, which really, I mean, people are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that fight fell through. And the semi-main event was supposed to be Stipe Miocic and Ben Rothwell, which in some respects is probably, there's probably a bigger fight, just because the repercussions of that would have been bigger. Realistically, a win for either one of those guys would have put them really, really close to title contention. But Duffy and Poirier, neither one of them are fighting for the lightweight title anytime soon. Duffy would probably get a shot much sooner than Poirier, simply due to the novelty of an Irishman, last guy to beat Conor McGregor, all that shit. And they're both very good, don't get me wrong. So they actually had a decent show to start. Obviously, Miocic got injured, therefore depriving Ben Rothwell of a chance to make money and making me smile. So we were left with Dustin Poirier versus Joe Duffy in the main event. Still, that was always scheduled to be the main event. I felt like people were still giving it a pass, because you look at it, it's like I know that people sometimes say, oh, these UFC cards are weak and blah, 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 but a lot of times they're actually headlined by pretty decent fights. Like you look at them and you realize, like, this is a fight on free TV. Yes, it's not the biggest fight, but it's definitely, you know, it would be on the main card of a pay-per-view level type of fight. This really wouldn't. This would not headline. I mean, I don't know if this would not have the headline anything on Fox Sports 1. It shouldn't, in theory. This would make the main card on a Fox Sports show, Fox Sports 1. I don't think it would make the main card of a pay-per-view unless it was a Conor pay-per-view or something like that. It'd have to be special circumstances. I mean, it could, but it wouldn't necessarily automatically be. So when this fight, you know, when poor Joe Duffy gets a concussion, I guess, like, the last day of training, and people are like, oh, my gosh, what are you, stupid, you're sparring, you know, you're not supposed to spar that close to fights and blah, blah, blah. I believe he got the concussion from grappling, just a random bonking of the heads, which, that's just gonna happen. You know, if he had gotten, if he had gotten knocked out from some big bad punch or something like that. But the truth is, it's a contact sport. You have to train. You can say, oh, you shouldn't be sparring that close to fight week. But define sparring to me. Is rolling, just, you know, wrestling, is that sparring? You've got to do that. You can't basically take a week off from doing anything. Like, you've got to do stuff. You got to stay in shape. You will lose your cardio with a week off. I noticed that, I always reference myself because I'm a narcissist, but it's also easier. If I don't go to practice for a week, I will be off the first day. Now, I quickly regain my form, my fitness, if you will. And usually after about, basically one day of training, I kind of, okay, my body readjusts. But there is a legitimate period there where you go, huh, I'm off. I'm just off a little bit. And so you got to, you know, to say that Joe Duffy shouldn't be sparring, just come on, like, whatever. It sucks. Norman Parks said he'd fight Dustin Poirier, and Poirier's like, this ain't a tough man competition. Like he said, this is not a tough man competition, blah, blah, blah. Conor McGregor's like, I'll fight Poirier for 7 figures. There's a fucking dog, like, a quarter of a block ahead of us. They can't, these two idiots can't see it, but they can smell it. And they're on the trail, and they're loving this trail. Morons. Like, how are they not real? I'm the one in control. There's a grown man in a Superman costume outside. We're a week out from Halloween, people. I guess maybe people are having Halloween. No, because like Halloween's like on a Friday or something. Or a Saturday. It's like on like a really good day for Halloween to be on. Not one of those bullshit who's like, oh, it's Tuesday. You're like, fuck, great. Yeah, you can't really go party on the Tuesday. You gotta go to work in the morning. Anyways, the quality of the actual, like, the depth of the show, it was really hurt, I felt, with the loss of the semi-main event and the heavyweight. Joe Duffy and Dustin Poirier, yeah, I mean, that sucks. It would have been a really good fight, but fuck, it's not like I'm looking at that going, oh, this is a... Oh, this is a fucking free show. It's a show on Fight Pass on a Saturday afternoon. Like, I'm halfway through watching it, all I can think is, I'm just glad I got something to do. Because usually I'm bored as shit on Saturday afternoons. Like, just, I fucking fall asleep or something. So there's this fighting. Like, I started watching fights at noon, and here it is, a little after 5, everything's done. These fucking dogs are driving me nuts. And it was a good, it was a fine show. There were some really, really bad fights. Sorry about the wind. But as everybody knows, as Dana White likes to say, you fucking dogs. Come here. Hey. Hold on, everybody. I got evil fucking puggles are fucking with me. Dogs, we're trying to do some high-quality radio programming here, and you ain't helping, so stop fucking around. All right, we can go now. Sorry about the wind again. As Dana likes to say, the pound-for-pound best crowd in the world. I have no idea what the fuck that means. Like, I know what he wants to say is, this is the best fans there are. But what do you mean pound-for-pound? Like, I'm pretty sure that if they had the capability, they could put 60,000 people in a stadium, or maybe 40,000 or whatever, 20,000, 30,000 people in an arena. And if Conor McGregor's fighting, and the Irish guys are fighting, they would be just as fucking crazy, if not more so. Like, pound for pound, it doesn't make any sense. So, whatever. But yeah, obviously, the atmosphere is always special. They're not the English fans. The English fans are much more American in that I think that, I don't think, they're used to having major stuff. You know, if you fucking live in London, UFC comes to town, it's not like, wow, look at that. And no offense to Dublin, but like the entire country of Ireland is 6 million people. I'm sure most of them live in Dublin, but still, like the entire country is smaller than Chicago. Same with Scotland. I mean, again, it's not like big attractions and local guys doing things on the quote-unquote big stage. It happens all the time there. So if you're in England, you go, oh, whatever, you know, Manchester's got so many millions of people, London's got so many tens of millions of people, all that shit. So when they come to Ireland, though, it seems to me like what we've seen from the last couple shows. The show Scotland, which I still think might be show of the year, back in July, when Michael Bisping, the local boy, headlined. And then this show, you know, these crowds are so special. And they really are. They're just so fantastic. And it helps to have the local guys. And the local guys are given decent matchups. And none of the guys are all that great. Like, you look at the talent, you go, they're solid, they're not special. We saw Paddy Mullahan losing the main event to Luis Smolka, which, you know, as far as actually talking about what happened, That fight was amazing. It was like 7-8 minutes long, whatever. It was fucking... It was a sprint. When people are like, oh, the flyweights don't have fun fights. Bullshit. There were two flyweights, Neil Siri won his fight earlier in the night also. There were two fucking flyweights fights tonight, and they were fucking awesome. Yes, it helped they had a local crowd, local guys, local, all that, blah, blah, blah. But Neil Siri had a great fight back in, I think it was July. I remember thinking, God damn. This is a hell of a fight, and he lost. But still, it was a great fight. And Paddy Holohan has shown himself to be a pretty good fighter, kind of unique, has just a weird charisma about him. And he really does. And it's not just, hey, I'm the local guy. Because there's other guys who are from Ireland who are on the card. You go, they're not all that charismatic. They're just local, so that people like them. Paddy Holohan, I mean, he really does. I was never blessed, blah, blah, blah. And you look at the guy, and he looks like this skinny fucking twig Irishman. He looks like he lived in the middle of a potato famine, and he's out there fighting. And you go, shit, this guy, he's one of us. I like Paddy Holohan, and the people like him, too. And, you know, the way he fights, the aggression, the going for it, he's special, and they all know it. You gotta love Paddy Holohan. And he lost. It was weird that I don't want to say it's weird that he lost. I know why he lost. He did not lose, despite how it looked, because of the rear naked choke and getting beat on the ground. He was a superior grappler to Luis Smolka. He lost because Smolka was a far better striker. And more than that, really nailed some excellent, excellent shots. Particularly at the end of the first round. Smolka hit him with a big elbow, and I think Paddy was out on his feet, because he got lit up some punches after that. And Paddy was not offering resistance. His head was snapping back in the way that a guy, like, you can get hit by a big punch, and if you're prepared for it, you don't snap your head back. Like, you might eat it, and it might hurt you. But his body language was such that this was a guy who was just like, I'm fucked. Like, the way I would probably react to getting punched, because I'm a pussy. And, you know, to Paddy's credit, he came out in the second round, just kept fighting and did well, but Luis, when he got the opening, he got on top, reversed, I think he landed a couple of shots from ground and pound, and that was it. And then he just started pounding and pounding, and then he got, finally, you know, they were going to stop it. Paddy did the... You never want to accuse a guy of quitting, but he quit before he got tapped. Like, he didn't get tapped out. He put himself in a position where he knew he would get tapped out. Like, you don't want to tap out to strikes. And so you turn, you give your back. It's like the fighter's out. Kind of like how they know, oh, if I curl off, if I don't do this, the referee will stop the fight. Like, there's just certain ways to talk about things. The old, I can't see. You know, the fight's going to get stopped. Sometimes, I'm always happy if a guy says, I can't see. If he really can't see, he's like, hey, that guy's smart. So Paddy was getting beat on, and he was beat before he gave up his back. He gave up a back. It happens. Sometimes you're in a position, you're getting dominated. You know you're going to lose. You just kind of, you want out. It's a mental break. I mean, I don't want to say mentally broke per se, so much as just the physical pounding he was taking. But he just couldn't, like, there's that thing where, like, you can't tap to strikes if you're a guy like him. But it was such a beating, and the referee wasn't stopping it. And he couldn't just quit, because you really can't just quit when you're getting punched. You can't just say, fuck it, I'll just let him hit me a little bit, and the referee will stop. But, like, your instinct is there. But nonetheless, it was a great, great fight. Like I said, there were some really, really bad fights on the show. But there were some real signs of positivity. Till, who's from Liverpool, but was such a problem child, and he's only 22. John Till, I want to say, a Scouser from Liverpool, automatically makes him a favorite of mine. He was getting so many fights and shit like that that they said, look, if you really want to do this, you got to leave and, like, go to Brazil. It sounded like this dude was so much trouble in Liverpool, which it takes a lot. I mean, Liverpool is a tough fucking town. Like, this is... when people are like, hey, you got to get out of Liverpool. You're too violent. You're like, what? And he's been training Muay Thai, and he did really, really well. He looked good. He kind of gassed. Got hit by a shot from some dude. I can't think of his name right now. Denmark. At least I got the Denmark part right. I think it's Denmark. Is either Denmark or Finland? I'm always confusing the two. No idea why they're even separate countries. Same reason I don't know why Norway and Sweden are separate countries. Fuck them. Anyway, and why Canada is a country. They both showed potential. There was a breeze from England, now trains at a TriStar, and you could see the TriStar training in him. He's on the undercard. I can't remember. Oh, he fought Cathal Pedrin. And he fucking blew through him in the first round. And he was on a way different level than Pendry. And, you know, Cathal Pendry, whatever. Pendry Cathal, I don't even know his fuck. Neither one of those are names. He is not a good fighter. But he's kind of like a tough dude who makes things ugly. And generally, guys don't just, like, run through him. He got run through. Like, it was really apparent. And he was so much smaller. And we saw, I think, the debut here of a real prospect at 170 pounds. Like, Breeze, that's a dude who I think that they're going to be talking about. Again, the TriStar style of striking was apparent. The reliance on the jab, the isolated punches, the straight punches, the very, I don't want to say cautious, but you can see the way he strikes. It's like, that looks like fucking Rory McDonald. The way he holds his hands, his build, everything about him. And he's obviously a great camp in TriStar, where he'll only continue to develop. So, you know, good on him. Again, of everybody on the night, that was the one I think that when people look back at this show in 2 or 3 years, they might all look back and go, holy shit, this show that everybody thought was a piece of shit had that dude debut? Like, it was, I really came away impressed. Like, he was so good that my first thought is he needs to be stepping up in competition now. Like, he should not be fighting at this level. And I think he's, again, like 21 or 22 years, like a really young guy. So, once again, fuck my life. People way younger than me, already better. Well, they're probably better than me at 15, but you know what I mean. Otherwise, you know, Ainsley Daly, Ash. Her name looks like Aisling. I think they pronounce it Ashley, basically, but it's not Ashley. It's fucking Irish version of a name. She beat Almeida from Brazil, and that was a... She pounded it. It was one of those things. It reminded me... You see this, and it's kind of the... it's the kind of fight you see right now in the developing division where she's just not a great athlete. And she's not all that really great of a fighter, to be honest. Like, her overall skills and everything, it's not there. It's just that there's not a ton of people that are really good who are fighting in women's MMA in general. Like, there's just this gigantic divide between the champions. Obviously, Ronda separated herself, but... And I'm going to wait a little bit on Yoni at Jacek, but so far, she's just looked so good. But I'm looking at, you know, Daly, and she was fine, but she fought like a less athletic, less refined, less everything version of basically Paige VanZant. And that, you know, I mean, when... It's not like Paige VanZant is anything super great right now as a fighter, and Daly's been around for a while. But she's a local girl, and she had that same charisma, very similar to what's her face from Scotland, where it's just kind of like local girl makes good, and she got her, like this, she got her moment, and everybody knew it was her moment. And again, it's that Patty Holahan style charisma. You're just like, you're just watching this. You're seeing people that I think a lot of modern fans don't see, and it's tough to almost understand it because it doesn't exist in America anymore. Because every guy who's in the UFC now in America, you know, and think about it. The boom, if you will, has been like a decade. Like, the sport's been a big deal for almost 10 years. It's been almost 15 since the Fertittas bought it and really pumped money into it. And so the idea that, you know, I can't believe it, I made it, all this stuff. Like, a lot of these guys, like, they didn't have to... They knew that there was a light at the end of the tunnel. Whereas these people fighting over, and especially the women, but fighting in Scotland and Ireland, I mean, think about it, you're fucking... Joanne Calderwood's who I'm thinking of. Just that sweet kind of thing where you're like, you are fighting as a woman in Ireland and Scotland. Like, there was no way that she ever even dreamed of being in the UFC. Like, you know how you concoct those scenarios where, like, oh, if everything goes right, it could happen. For years, she must have just been thinking, there's no way to even come up with a way that she'd be in the UFC. Oh, shit, there's a dog right there. Oh. You guys are just staring at each other. That's very creepy. That scared the shit out of me. And so, you know, again, her and Joanne Calderwood particularly kind of stand out to me. It's like, wow. And yes, basically all the women are kind of like that. But at least in the future, you're going to see, you know, someone like Paige VanZant does not have that experience. I don't think she started training until basically Ronda was in the UFC. Again, she's 21 fucking years old. She hasn't had time. She's not old enough to have had dreams yet. And so it's more like I see these people, you know, you see it in some of the flyweights are kind of showing a little bit of it still in MMA and with the men. But even then, a lot of them kind of knew that they could fight at 135 and be in the WEC. And that's been around for a number of years. So there was a chance. You're like, you know, I may not make great money, but at least there's something. But these women, I mean, they were truly fighting for nothing but the love of fighting. And then, to all of a sudden, just like overnight, somebody snapped their fingers and here you are fighting in the UFC in your hometown in front of everybody you've ever known and loved, with your gym right there behind you, in front of a crowd that is in complete adoration of your every move. It's not even a dream come true. It's a miracle almost. It defies any expectation she could have ever had. And so when you see her get that win, I mean, fuck, just to have a fight in UFC, but to get the win in your front of your hometown like that, and that ain't just you. Again, it's not your normal hometown people. Everybody wants to win in front of their hometown. Winning in your hometown is special and all this stuff. But it's so much. I think, like I said, for the women especially. But even more so for people from, not England, but it seems like Ireland and Scotland, there's really this deep, deep appreciation from everybody of, holy fuck. And I think, you know, so much of it was this tight-knit community where these people were fighting and nobody really knew who they were. And there was no real recognition. And even if they thought they might one day maybe get to the UFC, there was never like the idea of, oh, the UFC's not coming to Scotland. The UFC's not coming to Ireland. So they came once and then they never came back. Although they did promise a show every year on St. Patrick's Day. And so I think for them to now see this and to get this response, and some of it, you know, with the crowds is also the result, I believe, is simply the result of the footballing tradition. People go to sporting events, and particularly in the UK, soccer, football matches, and they have their songs and their chants and their cheers, and it's an atmosphere, it's a party. Well, we don't have that in America. You do at the college level a little bit, but like the most creative cheer for like certain teams, like the Jets, where somebody goes J-E-T-S, Jets, 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 like that's it. That's the chant, crowd chant. When I was at the University of Iowa, it was I-O-W-A, Iowa. That's as complicated as our songs and chants get. we spell things. Meanwhile, you fuckers in Europe are singing entire songs. They invent songs for players. Players talk about how, man, I can't wait for the Liverpool fans to come up with a song for me. I mean, fuck, the other day I was watching Liverpool play in the Europa League, and they start singing a song to Steven Gerrard, who is not even on the team anymore, who's moved to, you know, retired, a.k.a. plays in MLS. Sorry, it's true. And I think that just, there's that atmosphere in the... Just this, we all came from nothing. And we were all so... We all knew each other, and we were all in this together, and we all were going to make it together. And then it happened. It actually happened. Fighting in our hometown and all this stuff. And so, at the end of the day, yes, this card was marred by this and that. And, oh, my gosh, it fell apart. Yes, you had a show headline by Paddy Holohan and Luis Smolka. But, which I think might be the first time a flyweight has headlined a UFC and the fight did not involve Demetrius Johnson. I don't know for sure, but I don't think any other flyweights have ever headlined a UFC. I think Demetrius Johnson's been involved in every single flyweight main event in UFC history. I think so. Not entirely sure, but like I say, I'm pretty sure. Stop rolling around and leaves you here. So yeah, again, when the night was over, or the day was over, the afternoon was over, you know what? I got to see a show. I saw some fights. Some of them were very, very good. The main event was as entertaining and exciting and as fun as you can get. I couldn't ask for anything more out of those two. It was, for a grappling fan, any fight fan, but a grappling fan, just a fantastic, fantastic fight. You had some, again, there were some really shit-ass fights. Like, there were some fights that were so bad. I'm watching this going, what the fuck are you guys doing? This is just horrible. But, you know, you had big knockouts, some cool submissions. Local girl does good. Local guy does good. You know, you have a lot of these guys. I mean, they're coming out there and they're giving their promos. And Neil Siri, Ashley Daly, and Paddy Holohan all basically gave the exact same promo, which is, I know I'm not going to be great, but darn it, I'm going to keep fighting. And it seems to resonate. And yes, everybody kind of likes that attitude. Like, I know I'm not the best, but I'm here for you. But like, you look at someone like Neil Siri, it's like, he's got that everyman quality to him. And he went out there and he won. He got the submission with his guillotine, which he does every single time someone tries to take him down. He's got his technique. What the fuck? There's a bunch of burrs on me. Damn it. Well, I was going to wash these pants anyways. So I get to wash my pants now, guys. Yeah. Oh, I can talk while I get food ready, right? Tonight's dinner will be French fries and chicken cordon bleu. That's right. You heard me. I am a homosexual, and there's nothing wrong with that. So yeah, I mean, again, I watched the show and it was good. What else do you want from it? There's your analysis. You watched it, you thought you liked it, you loved it, you know it, or you didn't. If you didn't see it, you missed out. You didn't miss the show of the year or anything like that, but you missed a really good fight. And you missed some really cool moments. But otherwise, you know, it was there. I was happy. I wish there was like a UFC every Saturday afternoon. That would be awesome. I guess that's long enough for this podcast. Half hour. Not bad. Not bad, really. I can't complain. I can never complain. Get down, you damn dog. We'll be back soon. Because that's what we do at this site. So keep listening. Check out everything else on this site because we have some really good shit here. And until next time, I remain your humble host, Mike Coughlin, 5-Star Radio, halfguarded.com.
Before the internet, I'm damn sure a 5-star man now, okay? I just gotta drop the dead weight so I can shine.